Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, this morning I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. We do have a lot of things on the agenda today, and so I promised myself and the board that I would speak for about 15 minutes and then get out of the way for the rest of the proceedings to go ahead this morning. But I don't want my 15 minutes to start till now. So I got till 10:47, all right? I tell you what, I love the Church of Jesus Christ. I love the body of Christ. Matter of fact, the title of my message this morning is simply this, is I love the church, and the second part of it is this, and you should too. I want to tell you why I think you should love the church. I want to ask, Jason, would you and Kelly come up real quick? I want to ask these guys to come illustrate something for me really well. And they're a great couple to do it because I know these guys also love the church. But if I were to tell Jason, you're a cool dude. I want to be your best friend. I want to hang out with you. I want to do life with you, buddy. I think you're a great guy. But there's one catch. Kelly. Kelly kind of gets on my nerves. She's not perfect. She does things wrong occasionally. And also, Joe and Phoenix. They're kids. I mean, I'm not really sure they're exactly perfect either. So I was wondering, how close can we be while excluding them at the same time?
Probably not close.
Not close. And yet, I've heard people say, I love Jesus, I just don't like the church. Did you know the church is the bride of Christ? When you hear people make that statement, they are saying the same thing to God that I just said to Jason. It's an unreasonable request that I'm going to try to be close to him and demand I keep my distance from her. It's not going to work, is it? It's not going to work in a marriage. It's not going to work with God either. Thank you guys for helping me this morning. I just want to tell you, I love the church, and I think you should too. Some of the greatest things in my life have happened in the church. I gave my life to Jesus in the church. Somebody cared enough about a group of teenagers to hang out with us one Saturday night and say a prayer that when I lifted my hand, they led me in a prayer to come to know Jesus. That was the greatest spiritual moment of my life, is to come to know God. That happened because someone said, I will be the church. I will take care of the kids on this Saturday night, and I will tell them after we play volleyball for 16 hours, or maybe it was just two, but I will tell them about Jesus. I got saved in the church. I met my wife through the church. Long before Christian Mingle or Jingle or whatever it is. The church, I'm just telling you, the church was a good avenue for me. We've dedicated our kids in the church. God's done a lot of good things for us and in us in the church. Now, I've also had some hurtful things happen in the church. And I'm not even going to give the devil a satisfaction of bringing those up today. But it happens, doesn't it? It happens, sure. I've also had some of the funniest things happen in the church before, and I won't share them with you right now because I may never get the service back if I did. But I'll just tell you, Ray Stevens sang a song about a squirrel going berserk. It's happened more than once, I'll tell you. Things happen in the church, but more than all, the reason I love the church is not because of all the things that's happened in the church, but what God has done in me and through me, through the church. You know, Ephesians says that Christ so loved the church that he gave himself for it, for us. And so I want to tell you real quickly why I believe you should love the church. And I'll tell you why I should love the church. And I have 10 points today. You may wonder, well, Greg, why do you have 10 and not 20? The reason is because I don't think I had time for 20. But these are my 10, and you can add your 10. There's a lot more. These are just the 10 that I'm bringing up this morning. Here's the first reason I love the church is because the church is a channel of God's love and God's care. You know, some of the most darkest nights of my life, not just nighttime physically, but just in the bad seasons of life, there's always been the church that has prayed for me, cared for me, taken care of me, shown up for me. Acts chapter 2, verse number 44 is descriptive of the very first church. And it says that they had all things in common. They cared for one another. And when I say this list this morning, most of my list I've made this morning from a consumer mentality. I said I love the church because it's a channel of God's grace and God's love for me. But friends, I'm not just called to be a recipient of God's love and God's grace. I'm called, and you're called, to be a giver of God's grace and a giver of God's love. You've been called to show up in someone else's midnight hour and be the church of Jesus Christ for them. So the church is a channel of God's love and God's care. Secondly, this morning, the church is an avenue of God's wisdom. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 10 says that his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. When we come together tonight, this morning, we're not just coming to hear from a pastor or from a preacher only. We're not just here to hear from the Word of God. When people gather around in life groups, I believe that life groups is a wonderful way to discover the wisdom of God, because you take the Word of God and the counsel of godly people, and you push those two things together, which equals application, and you get the full counsel, the full wisdom of God. I'm thankful that there's been moments in my life where I didn't know what to do, and yet through godly people, the Holy Spirit spoke to us. I would challenge you this morning, let's all be people who will offer powerful and prayerful encouragement as the church of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, this morning, is the church provides an opportunity for hearing the voice of God. In Acts chapter 13, the church was gathered. There is two guys attending that service. You may have heard of them. Paul was one of the guys named. Barnabas was the other guy's name. And in that service, they heard the voice of God calling them to be separated to do something for God. And then the church gathered around them and add clarity to that word, and prayed for them, empowered them, and sent them. And today, the church of Jesus Christ still provides an opportunity for us to hear the Word of God. I'll tell you, sometimes it's easy to hear the Word of God, but it's harder to walk it out. You need people to come alongside with you and say, hey, do you remember what God said? Do you remember what you heard in that moment? Listen, don't doubt in the dark what God told you in the light. You need people to come alongside of you and help you remember what God has said. Fourth, this morning, the church provides a place for you to use your gifting. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. You know, I'm thankful for God's grace, aren't you? But you know, I'm not just supposed to be a recipient of God's grace, I'm supposed to be a steward of it as well. I'm supposed to make sure that His grace is not just pouring into me, but His grace is pouring out of me as well. And the church of Jesus Christ gives us avenues where we can extend the grace of Jesus. That's one of the reasons we're doing that outreach this Thursday night. Here's number 5. The church is a place to experience family. Ephesians chapter 2 says, consequently, you're no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of His household. Jesus even made the statement that my family, my brothers and my sisters, are those that do the will of the Father. You know, one of my favorite things about going on missions trips, I know I should be spiritual and just say, oh, it's about seeing people get saved, and it is, and seeing the kingdom built through buildings, and it is. But one of my other favorite things about going on missions trips is we get to meet the family of God around the world. And I've discovered this, no matter which part of the world you go to, the family of God is the family of God is the family of God. Amen. I've got friends that we met in the Dominican a few years ago. I've got friends that we met a few weeks ago in Ecuador, and I'm Facebook friends with them, and they're posting pictures and they're putting things on there, and I can't even understand what they're saying without putting the translation button on there, and sometimes that doesn't work. But I look at them and I'm encouraged because I understand that's the family of God, being the family of God where I could never be the family of God. And you're a part of that this morning. I would challenge you to determine this morning, I will treat my church like family. Six this morning, I know I got to hurry. The church is a place where my family receives affirmation of faith. Deuteronomy chapter 6 kind of spells it out that it's my job as a parent to teach my kid about faith in Jesus Christ. I can't farm that out to Double D. I can't farm that out to Addison. It's my job. But I can tell you, I have great joy when Stella walks in and she starts to tell me something about a Bible story that I didn't know. I'm glad to know that her faith is getting affirmed in the house of God. Listen, I want to tell you, we got to fall in love with the church of God, and we got to get our families locked in the church of Jesus Christ, because it's in this place where their faith is being affirmed. That thing that you're trying to drive home to them can be lodged in their heart permanently through the church of Jesus Christ. Seventh this morning, we got to love, I've already said this one kind of in my opening statement, is we got to love the church because Jesus loves the church. I've discovered the more I fall in love with Jesus, the more I start loving what Jesus loves. Jesus loves lost people. The closer I get to him, the more I find myself loving lost people. The more I fall in love with Jesus, the more I find myself falling in love with the church of Jesus Christ, because he loves it, not a little bit. He gave himself for it. Number eight, the church is where healing is dispensed. James chapter 5 says, if any of you are sick, you should call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. You know, we get testimonies quite often of people who said, you know, I walked down during service on Sunday morning and someone prayed for me, and I got back to my seat and I was healed. Or I got home and I noticed 3 days after y'all prayed for me, I wasn't sick anymore. What happened in that moment was the church was being the church. They came and they experienced the mighty God that we serve. And God is still in the healing business today. Amen? And let me just take this a step further. God wants to use you as an agent of healing. Now, I can't cover this in 15 minutes. But God can use you as a heart-mending agent. He can heal. He can use you as a body healing agent. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? When you get an opportunity, you put your hands on someone's shoulder and you pray for them. You give God a chance to show up. And friends, if you give God a chance, he'll show up in ways you never imagined him before. I think we got to just get better at giving God a chance. The church is where healing is dispensed. And I'm not just talking about here, but when the church goes out, you can dispense healing as well. Number nine, the church is part of my identity. When someone says that I'm a believer, but I don't like the church, they're actually saying there's a part of myself I don't like. Because Jesus said that he was building his church. We are part of that church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says there should be no division, that all of us are each members of the body of Christ. So the church is just not a place I attend. It's a place, it's a thing that I'm a part of. It's part of who we are as the body of Christ. And 10, the church provides an opportunity for me to make an eternal difference. I shared this stat. Maybe if you want to come to the keyboard. I shared this stat Wednesday night in service, and I'll close with this. In 1996, there was a survey taken, and the results of this survey said this. 86% of believers felt it was their responsibility to share their faith. In 1996, 86% of believers, like you and I, believed it was their responsibility to share their faith. They did that same survey in 2013. And in 2013, instead of 86% believing it's my job to share my faith, listen to this. I know there's a lot of distraction, but listen to this. Only 10% of people said it's my job to share my faith. Here in the United States, we've gone from 86% of people believing, hey, it's my job to share my faith. And not only 10% of believers believe it's their job to share their faith. I shared that stat with Megan, and she immediately asked me, well, if only 10% of the people believe it's their job, then whose job do they believe it is? You know what the answer was? Those other 90% of the people who don't think it's their job to share their faith, you know whose job they said it was? This is a quote. They believed it was the church's job. You know what they're missing? They're missing the fact that we are the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not a building on 2nd Street alone. It is you and it is me. We are the church of Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning, and we're going to pray like this. We're going to pray, Father, would you help us fall in love with you and fall in love with your church like never before, because we are your church. We are the difference makers that you've put here in the world to transform it. So I pray that this morning, from the youngest to the oldest, from the first-time guest to those that have been attending here for decades, that we would all understand that you've called us to be a part of your church, and you've called us to be your church. And Lord, forgive us when we've looked at this thing as only as being something we receive. Lord, because as the body of Christ, you've also called us to give and to do and to serve in a way that brings glory and honor to you. And I pray we'll do that in a greater way than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.